or the General Council of the United Church of Canada. And she is the, I forget her official title, but it's like she's the moderator of the United Church of Christ in the U.S. And so they have, we have full communion privileges with them. They're like a sister denomination to us. She was a marvelous speaker. And she challenged us with some very interesting points related to the whole theme of visions and dreams. I'm going to just give you five of them. Number one, she suggested that we cannot be a community that is held captive to the past. Oh, and by the way, she said in talking to us, the United Church of Canada, she would say the same thing to her congregants in the United Church of Christ. She noted that prophets throughout history listened to the Spirit and dared to believe in the impossible. I thought that was a neat phrase, dared to believe in the impossible. Here we can think not only of the ancient prophets, but also more recent ones such as Gandhi, Martin Luther King Jr., and in our own Canadian context, people such as Tommy Douglas and Richard Wagamese. She also reminded us that daring justice will cost us something. Our political, economic, and religious systems do not take kindly to change. And here's my favorite. And finally, she asked us, can we make room in our 21st century lives for the Spirit of God to be poured out upon and among us? Reverend Thompson spoke to us a few times over the 5 days, and I wish you could have all heard her. Maybe we can get her as a guest speaker sometime, Bruce. That would be... All right, now we're going to sing verse 3 of Draw the Circle Wide. Many of you have seen this photo already. Bruce has referred to it a few times, and it's well known across Canada. It's called A Place at the Table. An important event at the beginning of the General Council was the public apology to the Two-Spirit LGBTQIA+ community. This was offered at a special worship service at Knox United in downtown Calgary. Now, I have heard it expressed that times have changed, opportunities are different, and there is no need to apologize for something that is over and done with. My own observation is that the church should and must apologize for its role in historic injustice, because it is only through keeping ourselves aware of where we have gone wrong that we can all be mindful of how to act in the future when other subsequent events occur. I listened to people who had to hide a significant part of themselves from their church friends and family in order to participate in the life of the church, or they could choose to leave the church. The United Church of Canada was one of the first churches to welcome 2SLGBTQIA+ folks into both full membership and also into ministry. But the memories and hurts linger, and a formal apology is one step to full reconciliation. Here is one small excerpt from that apology. We have failed to celebrate and delight in all of your beautiful creation. We have wounded people instead of seeking wholeness. We are sorry. And the next slide, please, Braden. Now, many of you know the Reverend Gary Patterson, former moderator of the United Church of Canada, and there he is. And at the end of the apology service, there were several ministers, Reverend Gary being one of them, who had cedar branches, and they were blessed with water that had been blessed. And then we were all on our feet singing in English, French, and what was the other? It was a South African language, Bantu. We were all on our feet singing this song that was Never Give Up, Never Give Up. Reverend Gary and the other ministers coming down the aisle, blessing us like this, big smiles on faces, rainbow flags flying, and of course, lots of tears. It was a really, really moving experience, and I'm privileged to have been part of that. If we could go to the next slide then, please, Braden. So from the Song of Faith, these are words that affirm that what I have just been talking about. So let's read this together. God tends the universe, mending the broken and reconciling the estranged. God enlivens the universe, guiding all things toward harmony with their source. The church has not always lived up to its vision. It requires the Spirit to reorient it, helping it to live an emerging faith while honoring tradition, challenging it to live by grace rather than entitlement, for we are called to be a blessing to the earth. The hymn, I Have Called You By Your Name, was one that we used throughout that service. And again, it happens to be one of my favorite hymns, and so I enjoyed singing it there. And let's sing the first two verses of that together. I Have Called You By Your Name. Feel free to stand or remain seated, however you are comfortable. The council itself was 5 days long, and except for one night when we broke and went to different restaurants in small groups for eating, we were on deck from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m., so that was a pretty full day. But I have to tell you that the speakers were so well chosen and the sessions were so well organized that I never, you know, mentally checked out at all. I was with it the whole time. I did mentally check out a little bit during the business part when, you know, some people, never mind. However, we were very blessed to have at the National Council 25 global ecumenical and interfaith guests. A few of those were very well known to us. So one of them being Reverend Victor Kim, who used to be at Richmond Presbyterian down the street from us, and he is now the head of the Presbyterian Church of Canada. And then you'll see Rabbi Dr. Laura Dewan-Kaplan up there. She is a Vancouver rabbi, and we have had her here as a guest speaker at our church, and we all find her to be, and she teaches at VST as well, and I know many of us are very impressed with her. The international guests came from Mexico, South America, India, Japan, and Zambia. And these guests together, they attended all of our sessions, but they also had some of their private sessions where they did their work. And then together they made a presentation to us where they all filed on stage and six or seven of them spoke to us representing the whole group. So the next slide, please. Emboldened Justice. It was Rabbi Laura who was selected by her colleagues to make this presentation. Listen carefully to what Rabbi Laura had to say. As people of faith, committed to following Jesus in the way of justice, compassion, and reconciliation, we cannot be silent in the face of ethnic cleansing, collective punishment, and the mass suffering of the Palestinian people. The cries from Gaza are a call to our conscience and to our commitment to live out the gospel in action. We also encourage the United Church of Canada to strengthen relationships with Jewish and Muslim partner organizations who share these commitments. These cries are echoed and amplified by the suffering in the Sudan, the Democratic Republic of the Congo, Ukraine, Haiti, and many, many other places around our hurting world. What a brave woman she was to say that. The next slide, please. Nurture the common good. I didn't really have a good sense of this until I heard them speak, and I've done a lot of thinking about it. Many of us have become very distressed the last few years by the increasing amount of anger, division, and even hatred expressed in our political, economic, and religious systems. There seems to be so little room for respectful dialogue or healthy compromise, let alone mercy or grace. So it gladdens my heart to know that the United Church of Canada has adopted nurturing the common good as part of its strategic plan. Here is what our ecumenical and interfaith partners had to say about that. In the fractured world in which we live, your commitment to community, mutual care, and equity reflects Christ's love. We stand with you in building bridges across differences, fostering interfaith collaboration, and prioritizing the well-being of all creation. In this fractured world, we invite you to continue sustaining and staying with the wounded and forgotten, sharing in times of scarcity and in times of abundance. Because in a fractured world, the only truly vital thing to do is to care. Let's join together in singing verses 3 and 4 of I Have Called You By Your Name. So we don't have older youth like this in our congregation at this time. Wait a few more years and then we will. We've got some ones that are coming along nicely. So there were several youth delegates at the conference who participated in the full program as well as having some of their own sessions. And at one point, they made a joint presentation to all of us where each one spoke about their hopes, dreams, and challenges for the United Church of Canada. When they filed on stage, there were about 20 of them. And the first two or three spoke, and I looked at the lineup, and I thought, oh my goodness, they're all going to speak. And you know what? They did. And it went on. It was 90 minutes, and they didn't lose me for a second because their message to the United Church of Canada was so powerful. The whole presentation is worth watching, and you can get it on YouTube. But I came away very impressed by their desire and need to be taken seriously, to participate in meaningful ways, and to have their voices acknowledged and affirmed. It was noted that youth and young adults are avidly seeking connection, and all too often are walking into church spaces and experiencing the opposite. Not my words, their words. In 2023, the World Health Organization declared loneliness a global epidemic. This is an epidemic our churches should have the solution to, but so often we are part of the problem. Speaking on behalf of the youth, it was said, "Our vision is for a church who welcomes all as Jesus did, without discrimination, not with a polite smile, but with ferociously open arms. So that was the youth, a little bit of the youth forum. And now we're going to hear from our choir.
Yeah. Well, on that note, let us pray. Loving God, we give thanks today for the life and work of the United Church of Canada. We give thanks for its bold stand in the world with other faith communities who support justice and equality for everyone. We give thanks for our own congregation, Gilmore Park United Church, and for the work we do together to support each other and our community. We pray for vision and courage to reimagine our future so that we can continue to be a thriving congregation serving you in this part of Richmond. We pray for all of those who are suffering in any way, that you will be their comfort, that we will look for opportunities to allay that suffering. We ask this in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Now, those of you who attended our joint United Church community service at South Arm Church early in June will remember this slide because Bruce used it at the beginning of his reflection. And so this is a slide of the inaugural service of the United Church of Canada in 1925, and that's in the Mutual Street Arena, which later became Maple Leaf Gardens, according to Bruce. So there you go, a really little historic piece. So this has been our anniversary celebration for those of you who might be new to United Church. This has been our anniversary year celebration for the 100th birthday of the United Church. And although the focus has been on celebration, I have thought a little bit about what went into that decision to unite. The founding denominations must have dealt with a great deal of angst, with challenging arguments, teary discussions, and likely some anger before they were able to commit themselves to the new union. They were called upon to give up some of their own precious traditions and commit themselves to this new denomination, the United Church of Canada. How unsettling. And yet, they did it. Now we fast forward 100 years, and I have to wonder what we are willing to give up in order to create something new in this time of our shared history. Those of us who yearn for a time of return to what used to be are bound for disappointment. Society has changed. People's attitudes towards faith and organized religion have changed. What then shall we do? In response to this, the United Church of Canada has unveiled a Towards 2035 initiative. And we had an excellent presentation about this at the General Council. The United Church of Canada vision reflects what the church aspires to be over a 5 to 10 year span. So go to the next slide, Braden, please. And let's read this together. This is from the United Church's Towards 2035 vision. Called by God as disciples of Jesus, the United Church of Canada seeks to be a bold, connected, evolving church of diverse, courageous, hope-filled communities, united in deep spirituality, inspiring worship, and daring justice. That's a very powerful statement, and boy, a study group, we could spend a month on that, couldn't we, Bruce, taking that apart phrase by phrase. It's a really powerful statement. So after that opening and a little look at the history, some new and vibrant ministries were shared with us. And I don't know if they're available on YouTube or whatever, but they were really good presentations by three different congregations across Canada who had reinvented themselves in terms of their mission towards refugees or immigrants or campus ministry. Those are three that come to mind. I think there was one more. What they appeared to have in common was that the congregations asked themselves the question, what does our community need? They did not ask themselves what they wanted or what they were prepared to offer. Rather, they asked themselves, what is it that the community around us needs? And then they had a discussion about what and if they could do something about that. I wonder what our needs are. The needs of our own congregation here, the needs of our neighbors next door in Gilmore Gardens, the needs of our guests who come every Thursday night to our community meal, and the needs of our neighbors here in this little corner of Richmond. Are we willing to have a conversation about that and think about possible ways to respond? How will we live out the next 10 years as we move towards 2035? Next.
We offer our gifts in many different ways, our time, our talents, and our treasures to create a faithful and healthy community that reaches out into our community and our world. So we invite you now to offer, if you have something to offer in person, our ushers will be collecting that. But also, we invite you to think about the ways that you already do and want to offer yourselves in service to the church, to God's world. Go ahead, guys. We do want to take time to let you know that there's, of course, different ways to financially support not only this congregation, but the work of the United Church of Canada throughout the country and with our overseas partners. And so you see those options there. And we're working on kind of a different way of making our offerings in the coming weeks. So you'll be hearing more about that. But one of the options will be a QR code. Jan. Oh, okay, thank you. So correction on that. Tax receipts for any gift over $10. So we'll fix that. Thank you, Jan. Let's pray together as we offer our gifts in many different ways. Oh God, we give thanks for the gifts offered here today in gifts of cash and check and every other way of time and talent. We give thanks for the gifts that Susan is offering today and continues to offer as a representative and as a leader in our congregation. Bless all of our gifts, we pray, that they might be tools of love and grace and affirmation in a world that is divided and hurting. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Just before I talk about this slide, I wanted to say a special thanks to Ashanta and the choir for that beautiful rendition of The Holy City, because the words are so lovely, and as part of our whole notion of visions and dreams and envisioning a future where there's justice and equality for everyone, and it's a beautiful melody, and the words are lovely as well, and the choir, and thank you very much for that. So here... this is our last little reflection piece, and then we have the closing hymn, so we're doing all right. Because I don't normally lead the service, I didn't have a perfect idea in my mind of how to plan, but we've done all right so far. So this was the first time I had ever participated in the election and then installation of a moderator for United Church of Canada. I fully expected at some point there'd be like a puff of white smoke, but such was not the case. It did, however, go to three ballots, and so that led to lots of excitement and tension in the room. At one point, after we had finished voting on one of the ballots, three of the former moderators, who happened to be sitting near each other in the audience, gathered together in a little huddle, and I just knew that they were having a little prayer for that vote and whoever would be the successful, what would be the successful outcome of that vote. I should have taken a little picture of it. It was quite a moving little moment. The installation at Knox United was very moving. I sat in the balcony, because it's an old church like St. Andrew's downtown, so I sat in the balcony overlooking the front of the church, and so I had a bird's eye view of the installation of the new moderator and the blessing. So this is the picture after the installation when the family members, the personal friends, and the international and ecumenical delegates came around for the laying on of hands and the blessing of the new moderator. It was really, really moving. We must continue to remember our moderator, the Reverend Dr. Kimberly Heath, in prayer as she assumes this significant role. In honor of her and our shared commitment, let us recite together from the United Church Song of Faith. Next slide, please. There we are. We sing of a church seeking to continue the story of Jesus by embodying Christ's presence in the world. We are called together by Christ as a community of broken but hopeful believers, loving what he loved, living what he taught, striving to be faithful servants of God in our time and place. Amen. Now we're going to sing our closing hymn, Walk With Me, another personal favorite of mine. I hope it's one of yours. And I think we're going to sing three verses of that, Ashanta. Yes.